Life Talk Radio presents Health and Longevity, the program dedicated to bringing you cutting-edge information and interviews that can change your life. On each edition, nutritionist, registered dietitian, and board-certified anti-aging health practitioner, Dr. John Westerdahl, will show you how to achieve a longer, healthier life using the latest breakthroughs in nutrition, wellness, and lifestyle medicine. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Westerdahl.
Welcome to Health and Longevity. I'm Dr. John Westerdahl. Eating a healthy vegetarian diet can be one of the best things you can do for your health and longevity. Our featured guest on today's program is garden chef Paul Winner. Paul is most famous for being the creator of the original Garden Burger. Garden chef Paul Winner is a visionary with close to 50 years of experience in the food and nutrition business, with a goal of promoting healthy, sustainable changes that benefit people, animals, and the environment. On today's program, Mr. Winner will tell us about his journey to become a vegetarian and a health food entrepreneur. He'll tell us how eating a healthy plant-based diet can be a key to enjoying health, wellness, and longevity. And Garden Chef Paul will share with us an exciting new revolutionary line of healthy vegan food products that will make it even more convenient to eat healthy anytime, anywhere. But before we get into today's exciting topic, let's hear the latest research and news affecting our health and longevity today.
Dr. Westerdahl presents the Health and Longevity News and Research Update, bringing you the most pertinent and important information about your health and longevity.
Pineapple enzyme offers asthma relief. Research suggests that the pineapple enzyme bromelain appears to reduce inflammation associated with asthma. Though bromelain is sold in supplement form, lab tests reveal that fresh and frozen pineapple has as high, and in many cases higher, enzymatic activity compared to pills, which also cannot provide the synergistic interactions with other whole food nutrients that can be lost in isolation. Pineapple is an excellent source of the antioxidant vitamin C, which also may help asthmatics. Researchers found that asthma sufferers had lower serum levels of vitamin C and beta-cryptoxanthin. With its high water and fiber content, pineapple may play a role in helping you manage your weight, another important factor in fighting asthma. In one three-year French study of 67,229 women, those who had gained more than 20 pounds between puberty and adulthood had 66% higher risk of the chronic breathing disorder. Researchers speculate that the inflammatory effect of higher levels of estrogen and leptin associated with excess weight might interfere with the functioning of muscle cells lining the lungs and air passages. Asthma induced by weight problems makes it even more difficult to draw the oxygen you need to carry the extra weight around. Well, broccoli could be key in the fight against osteoarthritis. A compound found in broccoli could be the key to preventing or slowing the progress of the most common form of arthritis, according to new research led by the University of East Anglia. Results from the laboratory study show that sulforaphane slows down the destruction of cartilage in joints associated with painful and often debilitating osteoarthritis. The researchers found that mice fed a diet rich in the compound had significantly less cartilage damage and osteoarthritis than those who were not. Sulforaphane is released when eating cruciferous vegetables such as Brussels sprouts and cabbage, but particularly broccoli. Previous research has suggested that sulforaphane has anti-cancer and anti-inflammatory properties, but this is the first major study in its effects on joint health. The researchers discovered that sulforaphane blocks the enzymes that cause joint destruction by stopping a key molecule known to cause inflammation. They wanted to find out if the compound got into joints in sufficient amounts to be effective, and their findings are published in the journal Arthritis and Rheumatism. Well, research confirms the Mediterranean diet is good for the mind. The first systematic review of related research confirms a positive impact on cognitive function, but an inconsistent effect on mild cognitive impairment. Over recent years, many pieces of research have identified a link between the adherence to the Mediterranean diet and a lower risk of age-related diseases such as dementia. Until now, there has been no systematic review of such research, where a number of studies regarding a Mediterranean diet and cognitive function are reviewed for consistencies, common trends, and inconsistencies. A team of researchers from the University of Exeter Medical School, supported by the National Institutes of Health Research Collaboration for Leadership in Applied Health Research and Care in the Southwest Peninsula, has carried out the first such systematic review of their findings and are published in the journal Epidemiology. The team analyzed 12 eligible pieces of research, 11 observational studies, and one randomized control trial. In 9 out of the 12 studies, a higher adherence to a Mediterranean diet was associated with better cognitive function, lower rates of cognitive decline, and a reduced risk of Alzheimer's disease. A Mediterranean diet consists of higher levels of olive oil, vegetables, and fruit. A higher adherence of the diet means higher daily intakes of fruit and vegetables and fish, and reduced intakes of meat and dairy products. We'll be right back after this short break.
Would you like to live a happier, healthier, and longer fulfilled life? Then visit us at healthandlongevityradio.com. That's one word, healthandlongevityradio.com. There you'll find valuable information and resources that can help you achieve optimal health and give you the secrets to longevity. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com. It could change your life.
Welcome back to Health and Longevity. Do you have questions about nutrition, health, or longevity? This is your chance to have them answered. On each program, Dr. Westerdahl will choose a key question from our listening audience and respond to it on the air. Due to the high volume of emails, Dr. Westerdahl cannot personally answer each question on our broadcast. If you would like to submit a question, please go to our website, healthandlongevityradio.com. Once there, you will see a button to submit your questions. And now, the question of the day.
And our question for today is water a nutrient? Well, now, nutrients are substances and foods that supply the energy and raw materials your body uses for growth, repair, and maintenance. And the nutrients that the body needs are water, carbohydrates, fats, proteins, vitamins, and minerals. Now, the most important nutrient is water. In fact, every cell in the human body needs water because many of the body's processes, including chemical reactions, take place in water. Water makes up the bulk of our blood, lymph, and other bodily fluids. And on hot days or when you take part in a strenuous exercise, sweat glands remove water from your tissues and release it as sweat on the surface of your body. Now, as the water in the sweat evaporates, it cools the body, and this way, sweating helps maintain homeostasis. Water vapor is also lost from the body with every breath that you exhale and in the urine. Now, humans lose about 4 cups of water every day, and I recommend getting at least 8 to 10 cups of water every day in your diet. If enough water is not taken in to replace that which is lost, dehydration can result. This condition leads to problems with the circulatory, respiratory, and nervous systems. Now, drinking plenty of clean water, and I recommend ideally distilled water as the purest form of water, is one of the best things that you can do to help your body keep healthy.
And now, Health and Longevity's special feature, where Dr. Westerdahl interviews leading experts and personalities on vital topics important to your health and longevity.
And our featured guest today on Health and Longevity is Garden Chef Paul Winner. Garden Chef Paul Winner is a visionary with close to 50 years of experience in the food and nutrition business. His goal has always been, and continues to be, promoting healthy, sustainable changes that benefit people, animals, and the environment. He is probably most famous for being the creator of the original Garden Burger. And today, Chef Paul will tell us about his new creation, the Garden Bar. Paul Winner is also the author of the successful cookbook titled Garden Cuisine, which was published by Simon & Schuster in 1998. And Chef Paul, good to be with you today.
Hey, thanks, Dr. John. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being on Health and Longevity, and your life has been devoted to teaching people to have health and longevity. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background and your journey and how you became a vegetarian.
You bet. Well, it really starts out the day I was born. I know it sounds kind of funny, but my dad was a professional baseball player, and Joe DiMaggio was up to bat. My mom was 6.5 months pregnant with my sister and I. We were twins. Behind home plate, and he hit a foul ball, came right toward my mom, and she just moved out of the way and slipped and fell down the grandstands, and we started into the world at 6.5 months. I was 2 pounds. My sister was the fat one at 3.25 pounds. And they said the boy won't make it, but the girl will. Well, you know, I was the boy. I made it. And that really, according to the doctors those days, said that that's why I ended up with my tuberculosis, my asthma, and all the problems with my lungs, because my lungs were not developed well. Mm. And so, you know, that changed my childhood. So as a child, I was very very much a creative kid, because I couldn't go out very often. I didn't play any sports. I couldn't breathe well, basically. You know, I'd just go up a set of steps, and I'd have to sit halfway up the steps and get my breath. So I ended up, you know, jumping in and doing food things in the kitchen. And that's kind of how I got into the food business at 9 years old.
Well, let me ask you, since, you know, you invented Garden Burger back in 1985, and how did you think the demand for healthier and meatless foods have been changing?
Well, really, I spent from 9 to 17 making foods for my family. In fact, is it 12, I made my first Thanksgiving dinner. It was a turkey, but my dad said to my mom, can Paul make all the Thanksgiving dinners from now on? So, you know, I had a real knack, a talent for making food, and everybody liked eating it. But by the time I was 17, I started reading books about health, and I had never really thought about food as a connection to how I felt and how well I was or how well I was not. So I read the Councils on Diet and Food by Ellen White, and that was one of the most amazing books I ever read. I mean, it's just absolutely mind-blowing. Today that book is current, you know, in my opinion, and here it was written so long ago. And then Paul Bragg's book on Miracle of Fasting, and I combined both books and just changed my diet and started eating whole foods. And oh my goodness, within just a few weeks, my asthma just disappeared.
Great.
My tuberculosis was gone. I'd still get a positive test, but I didn't have any of the symptoms anymore. So it really changed my life. And from then on, I would tell everybody, I became a vegetarian on June 4th, 1964. And, you know, that just changed my life. I mean, it will be, it'd be 50 years next year on June 4th that I'm vegetarian. And I have more energy than pretty much anybody I know. You know, these young people, you know, they work 7-8 hours and they think they're done. I says, hey, let's hit another day today here. You know, we got a lot to do. How about a 16-hour day?
Right.
And everybody poops out about 11 or 10.
Well, can you share with us the story and how you created the Garden Burger?
Oh, yes. Well, I was teaching college and teaching nutrition and food classes for quite a few years at the 3 community colleges in Portland, Oregon. And the students kept saying, wow, I wish we had a restaurant you could go to and buy this food, because the stuff I brought to class was really, you know, nowhere to be found in a restaurant. But I heard that over and over again. And finally, I found a little old building and opened up a little restaurant called the Garden House. Now, that was an amazing little restaurant. I mean, I served everything from scratch. And at one point in time, there was this really bad weather, and I had no one come in for dinner. I had all these leftovers, and I had brown rice and mushrooms and, you know, this and that. And I mixed them all together and made a special for the next day. It was called Garden Loaf. It was like a meatloaf, only vegetarian.
Mm.
Well, the next day, the weather still wasn't good. So the following day, I put them on the grill, changed the bulletin board, and put Garden Burger.
Wow.
And fried them up with a little olive oil and put them on a fresh-made bun, a whole grain bun, and served them. And it became the most popular item at my restaurant.
Wow, what a story.
Garden Burger, yeah. I mean, at that point, I'm selling about 100 a week, and I thought I was doing amazing. You know, at one point in time, people were ordering them. The college was using them. You know, they just started getting around. And I used to say the Garden Burger have legs, even though it's a vegetarian burger, because it just would sell on its own, really. I mean, people would just hear about it and taste it and just buy it. It just had a life of its own. It was just an amazing little product.
Tell me why you think that vegetarian and vegan diet and that type of lifestyle is really the best option for our health, wellness, and longevity.
Gosh, well, you know, I believe in nature, God, and that God knows how to grow the best food.
Right.
And, everything that grows from the ground, as you know, as we look close enough to those foods that grow, they really are the healthiest foods for a human being. No matter how you look at it, you know, really animals really don't do as much good, animal foods. I haven't eaten even fish, chicken or poultry or red meat or any of that stuff, since in the 60s. But, you know, I really believe that, you know, you don't get enough fiber, you don't get enough antioxidants, you don't get enough nutrition. Because people who eat dense foods that are from animals, they have a tendency not to eat a lot of other things because it's dense and it's filling. So when you don't eat animal products like that, you end up eating more fresh food. And of course, that's the key, fresh variety. You know, I'm big on variety. I make little veggie packs every week, and I put up to 50 different vegetables in these veggie packs.
Let me ask you now, you've always had a very creative mind. You've always been a visionary, an entrepreneur. And now you have created a new product that you're calling Garden Bar. Tell us about those.
Well, you know, back really when I was selling Garden Burgers door to door, I put them in about 50,000 restaurants. I used to think, you know, I'd be traveling all over the place. And late at night, I'd think, oh, why doesn't somebody make something that's like a little entree in a bar? I can just pull out of my pocket and eat. Now I got to go find some place and get a meal and find something healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want sweet because there's lots of sweet bars, a lot of things that are sweet. And so that's when I started thinking about the Garden Bars, way back traveling with Garden Burger. But, go fast forward in time, and about 4 years ago in Hawaii, I have a home in Hawaii, I got in the kitchen and said, you know, I think I should start making some of these savory bars. So I started mixing them up and taking vegetables and whole grains and beans, legumes, seeds, nuts, and then mixing these things together to create like a meal in a bar. So like a Japanese meal or an American meal or an Indian meal, which is really our best seller, and Italian, Mexican. And these bars really have up to 40 ingredients, and there's 9 vegetables in each one. So people actually get a little serving of 9 different vegetables. 6 whole grains are all gluten-free grains, and mostly the ancient grains. And so what you would expect in a Mexican bar is in there. You know, it tastes like that meal. If you eat it and drink a glass of water, it really fills you up for about 3 or 4 hours, and it's all healthy, whole food ingredients.
So these are really a meal bar, and as you mentioned, that a lot of the bars out there today, to tell you the truth, they call them nutrition bars, but when you look at these ingredients, all the sugar and the fat and all these things in it, they're not really healthy, right? Aren't they?
Well, many of them are not healthy. They definitely aren't something you want to eat on a daily basis. Occasional snack of a sweet bar, you know, but, you know, I mean, a lot of people eat things by the case, a lot of these bars, and eat them, a lot of them, you know, and hey, they're just really not that healthy. So a savory bar, even though the concept when I started really selling these in a larger scale really was about February of this year, and I found that, you know, there was some resistance to the concept, but then people started tasting them and say, well, what is this actually a neat idea? And it's about time somebody made a bar without, you know, a lot of sugar. That's kind of the most common statement that I hear. And we did the street festivals in the Portland, Oregon area, and those festivals bring about a few thousand people. So each festival this summer, we've sampled about 1,000 to 2,000 people at each festival, and about 95% of the people like at least two or three of the bars of the five flavors. And I feel like that's pretty good. In fact, it is about one out of 10 purchased a bar at these festivals. So I think I'm on to a new concept, new idea, savory bars versus sweet. And I say, you know, eat a sweet bar once in a while, but savory bars are way healthier.
Can you discuss some of the future plans for your new company, the Garden Bar Company, and other maybe vegetarian or vegan food products that you're developing and marketing?
Sure. Well, I've always had a dream of giving people these things called these little veggie packs and essential salad. I've used that terminology for pretty much my whole teaching career, because the reason I call it essential salad is because between 50 and 100 ingredients in the salad. And variety is very, very important in the world of nutrition. A lot of people say, well, I ate my broccoli. Oh, well, I ate my, you know, Brussels sprouts. Well, that's one vegetable, maybe one in a day. What I believe that is we go and take every color of the rainbow and put it in a mix it together and put it in a bag and then give people the ideas and how to use that. Like in the veggie packs, there's about 50 vegetables, different vegetables. They're all cut in a unique way, so that they're all can be steamed in the same perfect amount of time, or put in a soup, or stir fry, or, you know, whatever use a person want to use them for. And I would provide recipes for that. In fact, is my old book, The Garden Cuisine, has recipes for veggie packs. But I want to make veggie packs and sell them in the market, because who's going to cut up 100 different ingredients for a salad? I don't think anybody I know will cut up 100 ingredients. It takes too much work. But, you know, and put it in production and buy organic, all the organic vegetables that I can find, and then mix them all together. And it gives people super nutrition right from nature. So that's one of the dreams I have to do, is veggie packs and essential salad.
Now, I understand you're going to be celebrating a 50th anniversary. Tell us about that.
Well, 50 years. Being a vegetarian, I'm a mostly vegan. I do eat a little dairy once in a while, like a little Parmesan here and there, you know, but nothing heavy duty, not like this, like a saturated casserole full of cheese or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I mean, obviously cheese is kind of liquid cholesterol too, you know, just like meat is.
Sure.
But, you know, my cholesterol, I'm 66 years old, is 95. Total cholesterol is, and it's always been about 90 to 95.
Wow.
That's one thing I don't have to be too concerned about. Dean Ornish, when I went through his program, he asked me to go through and evaluate it, and he checked my cholesterol at 95, and he says, oh, something's wrong. You got to run this again. I says, no, that's my cholesterol. No. He says, 95? he did it again. It was 95 again. He says, whoa, that's amazing. You know, these food choices do make a huge difference in your health, that's for sure.
They sure do. And now you're a new father at age 66 years young. How is it easy to feed maybe a four-year-old daughter that you have now healthy choices?
Well, not always easy, because she is very particular about what she likes. The funny thing about it is she liked everything for a while, but then we brought in a couple teenagers to take care of for into the household. And the 10-year-old, you know, was very, very particular about everything. And all of a sudden, Grace goes, oh, well, I don't want to eat those. I don't like those. I said, what do you mean you don't like them? You've loved them your whole 2 years. And I realized that the influence from other kids, wow, is the hard part.
It is.
But one thing I do, I'm happy about, is that Grace does like to make juice. So she puts carrots and celery, and she can put up to like 20 different vegetables in the juicer and drink it down. So I know at least she's getting a lot of antioxidants and nutrition from the juice she drinks. And she does that about 3 times a week. She's been cooking since she was 2 and knows how to cut up vegetables and fruits just like a pro at 4 years old.
Wow.
Fact is, she's in a little preschool, and they have a cooking class once a week as part of the school curriculum. And the lady said to me, the teacher says, I've never seen a child be able to cut up things so well at 4 years old. I said, well, yeah, we've been doing it together for a couple of years.
Sounds like your daughter's going to be a future garden chef.
Yeah, she, in fact, is. I'd love to get her on TV because she's a personality. She speaks well, much better than Dad. And she tells stories, and she likes to talk about healthy eating. I mean, she's almost ready to go do her own show. I said, by the time she's five, she's probably ready to, you know, lay down some shows.
Well, Paul, we've come to the end here already. It went so fast, but I want you to tell our listeners more, so how they can learn more about the Garden Bar.
Well, I do have the website, gardenbar.com, and, you know, that will tell more about the Garden Bar itself and also future things happening. And a new book that will come out in the next few months is called The Power of Our Forks. And that's kind of like a little bit more learnings than I had from the last book, which was, you know, 15 years ago.
Right.
So that's my life, Garden Chef Paul. I'll continue to create things for the rest of my days.
That's great. And this book, again, is going to be coming out called The Power of Your Forks.
Power of Our Forks.
Power of Our Forks. Very good.
Yeah. And as we know, that's one of the most powerful tools on the planet. And we got to be respectful to it. And ourselves.
Well, Chef Paul Winter, thank you so much for being with us today on Health and Longevity. We have to have you on again sometime, as maybe when your book does come out, we'll go over that. And thank you for all that you have done in your career to help and show people a better way of living, better way of eating for their personal health and longevity. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. John. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now, some of our listeners have said that they have missed a show or would like to re-listen to a previous show of Health and Longevity. And if you would like to listen to past shows, go to our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. Again, you go to healthandlongevityradio.com.
To learn more about the books written by our guests and books written or recommended by Dr. Westerdahl in this program, please visit our website at healthandlongevityradio.com. There you can learn how to obtain your copy of these valuable and informative books. Search each page for yourself and see how you can live a happier, healthier, and longer life. Visit us today at healthandlongevityradio.com. Once again, that's healthandlongevityradio.com.
That's all for today's program. Until next time, this is Dr. John Westerdahl wishing you the best of health and longevity.
This has been Health and Longevity with Dr. John Westerdahl, a production of Life Talk Radio. Join us again next week on the same station and time for Health and Longevity. The preceding information on this program has been general information about your health and is not to be taken as professional medical advice, nor is it intended to serve as a substitute for medical attention. Do not change your diet or exercise habits without guidance from your medical doctor, especially if you have health problems or are on medication. Do not change your medications without the advice and supervision of your medical doctor. If you have a medical condition, we encourage you to seek the consultation of a medical doctor experienced in dietary change and lifestyle medicine. And as always, we wish you the best of health.